Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
Well, what's up, Liquid Church? It is so good to see you guys. Can we welcome all of our live locations here at Liquid? I'm Pastor Kyra, and I'm just so excited to be here with you guys today. It is Labor Day weekend. It is the last hurrah of the summer. And I got some news for you people. Summer's over, right? Right, I feel that. Listen. My son, Andy, started middle school last week. Okay, that is a sin. No, don't clap. It's a sin to start school before Labor Day weekend, right? But alas, he started middle school. It is what it is. But I know that this week we are heading back to school. And before we dive in today, I want to let you know about something brand new that is happening next Sunday. Next week, Pastor Tim is kicking off our September series, Parenting in the 21st Century, baby. Any parents in the house? Come on, make some noise. I got good news for you, because whether you're sitting here today sleep deprived because your baby has colic, or you're like me going through the emotional roller coasters of parenting teenagers and middle schoolers, we want to help you move beyond what can sometimes feel like parenting tips and actually learn how you can cast a vision for your child's future that can take them further than you ever imagined. So I hope you'll join us. I promise it's going to be practical. It's going to be inspiring. We all feel a little anxiety over the upcoming year, but I promise we're gonna get through it together, amen? Now, speaking of back to school, I'm excited because today I get to talk to you about something that I feel super passionate about, and that is the next generation. I love me some Gen Z. I wish I could be part of Gen Z. After all, Spanish don't vanish, people. But it is okay, because at least I live with two kids who are Gen Z. My daughter, Gabby, who is 15 years old, and my son, Andy, who is 12. And this past summer, we were all vacationing in Hilton Head with my husband, Jose. And we were on, I was on this mission that I wanted to find the best souvenir in Hilton Head. And we heard about this shop, appropriately called the gift shop. And as soon as we went in, guys, I knew that I had found it. Because I don't know if you guys do this or not, but have you ever found yourself in a gift shop and you're standing in front of a rack and you're looking across row after alphabetical row in search of one of your names on those little shot glasses? I mean keychains. Ever since I moved to the U.S., I have had this unmet longing that one day I would find my name, Kyra, in one of those shot glasses. I mean keychains. And that day, I was feeling positive. I was like, maybe finding my name would be a little bit of a stretch, but I felt hopeful that I at least would find my daughter's name. Her name is Gabriela. We're from Puerto Rico, so it's spelled with one B and one L. Latinos in the house, you feel me? I hear Passaic campuses hollering too. And so every time I travel, I look at these shot glasses, I mean keychains, and I wonder, maybe today is the day that I will finally find one of our names displayed. And so my family, they're waiting to get some ice cream, and I'm looking at row after alphabetical row, and I found it. I found the name Gabriela, not Gabriela with two B's and two L's, but Gabriela with one B and one L. And it was so significant to me, it was so meaningful that finally I had found one of our names spelled right in one of those shot glasses. I made Gabby hold it up so I could take her picture. It truly is a keychain. You will see it in a moment. You can see that she's just as thrilled as I am. It meant more to me than to her. But you know, we all laugh, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Whether your name is Toby or Kendall or Libby, whether your name is Brittany with one T or Tawana or Andres, we all know the feeling that we get when we see our names in unlikely places. It actually makes us feel celebrated. It's powerful when someone calls you by name. And Jesus knew the power of calling the next generation by name. You ever wonder how he called his disciples? I want you to watch as Jesus calls them by name here in Luke chapter 6. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and he chose how many? 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Here they are. Simon, whom he named Peter. His brother, read it with me, church. Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, sons of Alphaeus, Simon, who is called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Little known fact, these disciples were all likely teenagers or young adults at the time. Did you guys know that? They were most likely between the ages of 13 and 30. We think of them as middle-aged men with bushy beards, but that's because we've all watched The Chosen, all right? But the reality is Jesus chose a crew of teenage boys or young adults to be his apprentices. Now, if you've ever spent time hanging out with a group of people, you'll know, you'll soon start to discover that people will let you down, that stuff will happen, that people will disappoint you, and eventually you find yourself losing hope in people, which is why in my IHO, this passage is one of the most hopeful passages in the Bible. Because as flawed and disappointing as human beings can be, Jesus put his hope in a crew of them to carry his gospel. And the thing that feels the most hopeful of all to me is that not only Jesus predicted his death, burial, and resurrection, pointing to who he is and what he did, but I'm also impressed by who he pulled it off with. Because I don't know if you've ever looked at the motley crew of jokers that he chose to save the world. But if we knew their mission was to save the world and we're watching them down from the heavens, we would all say, we are gonna lose. There is no hope. Are you kidding me? Especially when you look at Jesus's number one draft pick. Look at Matthew chapter 9. It says this. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named what church? Matthew, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. Now let's not overlook the fact that Matthew, or Mateo, like they say in my Bible, was a tax collector. Back then, tax collectors, they weren't guys who worked at the IRS or H&R Block. In Jesus's day, a tax collector was someone who had conspired with the Roman government to cheat Jewish people out of money. They didn't just collect taxes by sending you a nice letter in the mail, all right? They literally walked around with Roman soldiers and would bully people out of more money than they owed. In other words, think about it this way. If you combine the IRS and the mob, that's a tax collector in scripture, all right? Which is why the Jews hated them. To a Jew, a tax collector was considered trash. And Matthew, he was no exception. He was a social pariah in every way. Which is why later on, after Jesus has called Matthew and he's having a dinner party, we actually read this little nugget. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him, meaning they saw Jesus, eating with who, church? Sinners and tax collectors. They asked the disciples, why is Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners? Don't miss this. Jesus is eating with sinners, say it with me, and tax collectors. Sinners and tax collectors. In other words, tax collectors were so bad they had their own category, all right? They couldn't be lumped in with the rest of the sinners. Even murderers were like, at least I'm not a tax collector, you know what I mean? Which explains why the rest of the disciples had issues when Jesus chose Matthew to be part of the band. Check this out.
A mother of a son with talent like yours should be proud.
She's ashamed that I could use the talent that God gave me against God. Next.
You're good at something. You found a way to make a living doing it. It's that simple.
Must be nice to live in a world so simply ordered.
We live in the same world, Matthew.
Next.
Besides, what else are you going to do with a mind like yours?
Matthew! Matthew, son of Alphaeus!
Yes?
Follow me.
Me?
Yes, you.
Whoa. What are you doing?
You want me to join you?
Keep moving, street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy has done? Do you even know him?
Yes.
Listen, I said to...
What are you doing? Where do you think you're going?
Guys, let me go.
Have you lost your mind? You have money. Quintus protects you. No Jew lives as good as you. You're gonna throw it all away.
Yes.
I don't get it.
You didn't get it when I chose you either.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
I love Jesus's response, get used to different. It's hard for our minds to comprehend Jesus choosing an 18, 19-year-old who maybe was a little socially awkward. But I want you to notice the power of calling someone by name. Matthew. Follow me. Jesus is saying, I see you, Matthew. I want you, Matthew. You are chosen. There's just something special that happens when someone calls you by name that gets our attention. And when Jesus calls you by name, it not only means that he knows who you are, it also means he's claiming you as his own. That's why Isaiah 43 says, I have called you by what, church? Read it with me. By name, and you are mine. There is power in making it personal. And when Jesus calls a young Matthew by name and he puts his hope in a tax collector to carry his gospel, that should give us hope too. I want you to listen to me if you're part of the next generation. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice, whether you're online in one of our locations or here today, I want to give you a word of hope that is in season for today. I may not be a part of Gen Z, but I love people who are. And I need you to know, I've been praying that this message would bring you hope. Because as a mom of a Gen Zer, can I tell you, my heart breaks over some of the challenges that you're facing right now. You know, this week I told my daughter, Gabby, I'm going to be preaching on Sunday. It's all about Gen Z. Can I ask you to help me? Would you be able to tell me what are some of the biggest struggles of Gen Z in this season? And she took it to heart because in the next thing I know, she sent me a list in three parts titled General Struggles, Spiritual Issues, and Church Solutions, all right? I didn't know I had a little theologian living with me. She takes after her mama. But I asked Gabby, can I have your permission to share it with the church? And she said yes. And this is what she wrote, some of the things that she wrote under struggles. The first thing that she wrote was relationships. She said, Mom, Gen Z, we struggle to make friends and we struggle to keep them. Can I tell you, hearing her say that, it broke my heart. But it makes sense if you think about it. Because young adults, they weren't allowed to go to work in the office or go to college during the COVID pandemic, at the height of the lockdown. Teenagers weren't allowed to go to school in person. It makes sense that Gen Z's social skills were underdeveloped during this time. The second thing she wrote was struggles with social media. And this is such a conundrum. Because even though Gen Z are digital natives, they're growing up and they don't know any other world where there aren't platforms like Snapchat or TikTok or Be Real, there is so much pressure of living life online. It's leaving them feeling more alone than ever. It messes with their self-esteem because they compare themselves with other people. And you might say, well, why don't you just stop using it? But that's how they actually communicate socially. So it's a conundrum, you see? I use it for social stuff, but at the same time, it leaves me feeling so anxious because I'm missing out. I compare myself. It gives me low self-esteem and I lack confidence, which is no surprise that the next thing that was on her list was mental health. Guys, in the last few years, our world has seen a pandemic of depression, anxiety, and despair in teenagers and young adults. Personally, I do not know a single parent who has a teenage girl right now who isn't struggling with some sort of mental health challenge. I mean, Gen Z has grown up with mass shootings, the pandemic, and the threat of terrorism. You guys know what that's called? Collective trauma, which is why the age group that has seen the highest increase in suicide rates in kids is in ages 10 to 14 years old. So I want to speak to Gen Z directly, from my heart to yours. I want to tell you how sorry I am that you have to navigate all of these challenges. I want you to know I hear what you're saying. And guys, please know, I don't mean to bring anybody down. I'm thankful for a kid who's willing to share openly about the issues facing her generation so that the church can hear them and understand the role that it needs to play. But it's precisely because of this difficult history that I want to give a word of hope to Gen Z today. Because if the account of Matthew being called by Jesus has anything to teach you, it's that if Jesus can use a tax collector to carry the gospel, then despite your weaknesses, despite your insecurities, despite the trauma that you have experienced the last 3 years, Jesus can use you too. He wants to put his hope in you no matter who you are. Jesus wants to put his hope in you no matter whether you're 23 or 15, and especially no matter what you have done in the past or what you may not have done in the past. Think about it this way. Don't let your history keep you from reaching your destiny. Don't let the things that you've experienced in your past keep you from what God has called you to be in the future. Matthew was a tax collector. He was an outcast. He was a collaborator with the oppressive Roman regime. He wasn't the obvious choice to carry the message of salvation. In fact, he probably was the last person anybody would have expected Jesus to call. Yet Jesus stepped into that space. He shattered those expectations. He called Matthew by name and he chose him to be part of his inner circle, which actually means no one, I don't care who you are or what you've done, no one is beyond the reach of God's love and purpose. Amen, church. And just as Jesus saw potential in Matthew, he sees potential in you, Gen Z. Regardless of your mistakes, your insecurities, the wounds that you carry from the challenges of recent years, Jesus can use you to bring about his purposes for this world. He isn't limited by your history. He's invested in your destiny. Don't let your history keep you from reaching your destiny. God is calling you personally by name. In the same way that he called teens and young adults in the first century who later on became his disciples. And he's inviting you to participate in the story that he wants to write, not just in your life, but in the whole world. Gen Z, I have to tell you, it is my prayer that what I'm saying to you right now would give you hope. But it should also give those of us in the church who are not part of Gen Z a word of caution. Because I'm going to be very transparent with you. I'm going to take off my pastor hat and I'm going to put on my mom hat. One of my biggest fears as a mom of a teenager is that sometimes the world can be far better at calling Gen Z by name and inviting them to have a part in it than the church. I want you to take a look at the brands that they're going to put behind me. I want you to think of how each one of them is actively working so hard. They're doing their hardest to personalize their products in order to call our teens and young adults by name. Think about TikTok or Spotify, how they're curating playlists for Gen Z based on the songs that they've listened to in the last 30 days. Or YouTube and how it invites Gen Z to participate in the larger story that they're trying to tell by calling them content creators and becoming influencers and innovators. Think about brands like Nike, who are inviting teens to come to their website, customize their own shoe, and if they like it, they're gonna launch your career as a designer, they're gonna slap your name on the shoe, and they're gonna ship it to your house. Or brands like Function of Beauty, who actually let you take a quiz and design your own specific shampoo for your specific hair. You get to put your name on the bottle and they ship it to your house. What's my point? My point is we have a culture of personalization where brands are calling Gen Z by name. They're inviting them to participate. They're basically saying, Gen Z, I trust you. Gen Z, I hear you. You have something to offer. And do you know what happens when they do that? Our kids' sense of identity, purpose, and belonging starts to be affirmed. And I don't know about you, but the church should be at the forefront of that conversation. Brands cannot be better at calling Gen Z by name or inviting them to participate than the church. You should clap for that. And you should give God praise and prayer. That should be the church's best play. It is our job to affirm Gen Z's identity in Jesus, to actually help them discover their God-given purpose that the church needs to call out in the next generation. So let me speak again to Gen Z right now. This church is yours. This church belongs to you. We're inviting you to participate in it. That's my biggest passion as a mom of a teenager who's hearing the world call to her daily. Guys, I'm going to work my hardest to make the call of Jesus on her life rise above all of the noise that comes her way. And then I'm going to work my hardest to create a place in the church where she can belong and participate. Because what I want for my daughter's life and for the next generation is for the power of the Holy Spirit to come over her, to come over the next generation so that they can receive Jesus' invitation as Paul describes it in Acts. You guys know this verse, Paul says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in all of Judea, in Samaria, and where, church, read it with me, to the ends of the earth. Guys, that's what Matthew's invitation was for. It's why Matthew's call by Jesus is so powerful. We would not be sitting here today if those teenagers in the first century hadn't shared the gospel with the next generation. That's why Jesus didn't just see a motley crew of jokers. He didn't just look at their past and give up on them based on their history. He saw the potential of who they were becoming in the future, and he invited them into their destiny. And in so doing, Jesus brought together a group of people that should have never been brought together. And I don't want you to miss this, because I think that when the next generation sees a faith of people that act like Jesus towards people we should have given up on, or a faith that makes spaces for people that we don't agree with, or a faith that makes room for people that don't look like us, speak like us, or even vote like us, you know what happens? I think that what happens is the same thing that happened to Matthew. Remember our verse? When the teachers of the law saw Jesus eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked the disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? In other words, Jesus is having dinner with many sinners and tax collectors. He's eating with bad people who are inviting other bad people to be with the best person at the party. And that is very interesting, and I don't want you to miss it. Because you know what I think about the faith of the next generation? I think the faith of the next generation right now is under attack, not because we have teenagers or young adults that are worried about their faith, but because they have questions about if their faith works for their friends. Because you know what Gen Z was doing during COVID? Oh, church, they were looking at your Instagram and Facebook posts. And they were left wondering, are my friends okay to come to this table? Because here's what I know about next gen. There's always someone thinking about inviting a friend to church. And the whole time, they're going like this, fingers crossed. I hope it goes well. I hope I can invite my family that doesn't know Jesus, or my girlfriend, or my college roommate, or my friend from high school, and that no one says anything weird or offensive. Because if they do, you know what happens when they get old enough? They say, if my faith doesn't work for my friend, it doesn't work for me. Jesus made room at his table for Matthew. Matthew was a social pariah in first century culture. And if we love Jesus, we have to love Matthew. And I have a feeling you have a Matthew in your life. Maybe you work for a Matthew. Maybe you came here today with a Matthew. Maybe you're married to a Matthew. Your job as the church is to make space at the table for the Matthews in the next generation. Guys, for the sake of my daughter's faith, I want Liquid to be that kind of church where the next generation feels safe inviting their friends. I want to end my time by giving another word of hope to Gen Z as one of your pastors. Guys, I know how easy it is to lose hope in people. I want you to know we're going to make mistakes as the church. We're not going to always get it right. But you know who never loses hope in you? Jesus. And as flawed as we all are, Jesus put his hope in us to carry the gospel, which is why, Gen Z, I want to encourage you today. It's not just that I want you to keep putting your faith in Jesus. It's that I want you to be encouraged with the knowledge that Jesus has put his hope in you to reach the next generation. And he's not just calling you personally by name. He's inviting you to participate in the story that he's writing, and he's using Liquid to write, which is why I want to brag on Gen Z for a minute. Because can I tell you about some of the Gen Z staffers who heard Jesus call their name and are now participating in the story that God is writing at Liquid? I want to show you a picture of some of the young adults that are on our staff. In fact, all of them, except one, is on staff. And the only one who isn't is actually going through our leadership pipeline right now. I'm so proud of the role they play here. They're using their gifts. They're using their passion. They're participating in all that God is inviting us to do. And can I tell you, I love working with them. I love having them on my teams here on staff. It's why at Liquid, we want to continue to work hard because we want to create spaces where both our teenagers and our young adults can feel heard and be a part of our church. That was on my daughter's list, by the way. I told you about her three lists. When she sent me the last list under church solutions, you know what was at the top of her list? A church that makes us feel heard. Her second item was messages that are not just directed at adults, which I was personally offended by as her mama preacher, okay? But in all seriousness, I actually took it to heart. She threw down a challenge and I'm picking it up loud and clear. I'm going to be making some changes to my preaching. Want to know why? Because in 20 years, it's not going to be me up here still preaching. It's got to be them. That's one step I'm taking. Can I ask you what would be yours? I want to give you some ideas of what you could actually do. And so to end our time together, I want to invite someone who works so hard to make the next generation feel heard. I want him to tell you all the things that he's hearing directly from your kids. So please help me welcome our high school pastor, Pastor Gary Castellanos. Pastor Gary, how are you, sis? First of all, church, He works with our kids. Can we, you welcome. Can we thank him? Now, tell us, Gary, tell us a little bit about yourself and how long have you been at Liquid?
All right, so fun fact, if you don't know me, I am actually, outside of church, I'm an entrepreneur and Instagram foodie. See, I love food so much. I travel for food. That's Disney Springs. Those are maple glazed donuts from Disney Springs with fried
chicken. That just makes me feel very hungry. Anyone else? It is 12. That's awesome. But tell us, are you as passionate about the next gen as you are about food?
All right. Honestly, it depends. Depends on the day.
Or the hour, too.
But you're right, man. My true passion is to see next gen encounter Jesus. And so I've been lucky enough to be here on staff for just about 3 years. But I've actually been pastoring next gen, like yourself, for just over 15 years. How crazy is that? I'm getting so old.
Amazing.
Right?
Amazing. Young at heart.
Now, despite that passion for next gen and for food, my favorite titles in the entire world, I have to say, would be one, as a husband to my beautiful wife, Brittany. Mm-hmm. And then two, as a dad, I say dad, not father, I say dad, to my three-year-old, the Disney
so
princess,
cute.
Bella. I know.
Come on.
Any so Frozen cute. Fans in here? Frozen fans? You guys
yes.
know you guys know Elsa and Anna?
Yes.
Right, they had a third sister, all right, and that is Bella Castelletto. And so, man, as you can imagine, I've been blessed with two of the most amazing girls
Aww.
In my life.
So cute. All right, but going back to what we wanted to talk about, we know that we have a lot of teenagers sitting here at all of our locations online. What would you tell them specifically their next step is?
All right, so if you're a teenager, the first thing that you need to know is that high school experience, we launch October 1st, Sunday night, here in this place. And so October, we're gonna be starting our high school experiences throughout the school year. And this is where students from all of our locations, mm-hmm. all over New Jersey, traveling really from over an hour and a half to 2 hours away to be right here in this very room where we do live worship, we do live preaching, we have activities, we have community life-giving relationships. And one thing that I really love is they get to serve at the same capacity as we do at this campus. And so the cameras in the back with production and worship and the communicating like our campus pastors do and campus managers do, they learn how to do that and how to host. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of my favorite times of the entire month. But if I had to give you my favorite event of the entire year.
Yes, tell us, what
right,
is it?
That would be our annual retreat that we call The Weekend. Okay, The Weekend. This is where we take all of you and all of your friends, all of our staff that sign a waiver and say they're okay coming with us, and all the equipment we can find, we load them up into buses and vans, and we take them out to Pennsylvania, to the mountains for an entire weekend.
Wait. You spent a whole weekend with a bunch of kids in the mountains of Pennsylvania. God bless him. Anybody else feel that way?
When she says it that way, I understand why I've been sore for the last several months from our last trip in May or in March, right? But man, we do zip lines, we do rock climbing, we play dodgeball, like back in the 80s, right? In the 90s, right? Like actual dodgeball.
You're still sore.
Yeah, I'm still sore. And not me, the youth are sore, man. I won. And then we have late night food parties where we DoorDash food from all over the area, which is pretty cool, right?
Sounds very fun.
And so that is actually not my favorite thing about the weekend.
Tell us what is.
My favorite thing would be seeing young people like yourself encounter God, either for the first time or on a deeper level than ever before. Mm-hmm. And so if you're in this place or you're hearing or if you're watching from one of our campuses and you have never been out to something like this and you want to meet friends that are life-giving and caring, you want to encounter God, or maybe you just want to take your faith to a deeper level, I mean, the weekend is where you do that. And we actually booked our March 2024 weekend trip. And so stay tuned and look out because we're going to be posting the dates soon.
I have to tell you, my daughter went on this retreat. She did not want to come back. So she had a blast.
Gabby.
On behalf of all of the parents who know what I'm talking about, can we thank Gary and the Next Gen team for that weekend retreat? That's amazing. It really is. Now, let's speak to the young adults in the room. Obviously, they too have next steps. What would you say theirs is?
All right, so if you're a young adult, the porch, which you probably have seen branded somewhere, maybe on Instagram, going viral, on TikTok, and wherever. This is a young adults ministry that's actually led by other young adults, which is, it's pretty cool.
Very
right?
cool.
And so what we do is we host monthly on the third weekend of the month here in Parsippany, young adults from really all over the tri-state area, to be honest with you. And so they come out here for something we did a couple weeks ago was our summer worship night. Mm-hmm. And we worshiped, we heard a killer message by my friend Pastor Zach, and then we went out and we roasted marshmallows and hung out for the night.
That
and
sounds fun.
Right? What I love about having young adults actually lead this ministry, though, is how honest they are and how caring they are. So they're strategic to make sure that if it's your first time and maybe you're uncomfortable meeting new people or coming out to a place, how weird is it going to a place for the first time? They do everything they can so that when you do come out, it's very easy for you to mesh in and find your people and your crew without feeling awkward, right? Mm-hmm. They're always sharing how young adults are so desperate to find real, authentic, life-giving relationships. And so mm-hmm. if that's you and you hear this right now, and maybe you're not finding that community at work or at school, I wanna let you know that young adults all over New Jersey mm-hmm. and the Tri-State area are finding that every month here at The Porch. And so look out, because this September, we're taking a break to celebrate our 1-year annual launch, which is so amazing. But in October, in the third weekend, we're gonna be relaunching a new event. And so you're gonna wanna check it out on Instagram.
So both high school and young adults kick back up in October.
In October.
Very yeah. cool. Now, you talked a little bit about this, about their need for friendships. In my message, I was sharing with these guys how much, and you've been a great coach to me. You're always telling me what the kids are actually telling you with regards about their mental health struggles, their struggles to find life-giving friendships. Can you share with the church, what are you hearing directly from teenagers and young adults regarding this topic?
Okay, that's a good question. Let's start with mental health, because I read recently that in 2022, there was a study that said that Gen Zers, over 71% of you say that support for mental health and struggling with loneliness is the number one need in your life over everything else. Right. And so I can't really speak for everybody. Mm-hmm. But what I can do is I can advocate for the voices mm-hmm. that I have heard. And some of these voices, what they say is that despite the best intentions from my parents or maybe the adults in your life, you still feel unheard and unseen. And you feel as if they don't really truly understand or accept the significance of how you're being affected by mental health mm-hmm. and loneliness. And so it's interesting to me as I navigate that with mm-hmm. you guys. And I've really seen that. It's not the intent of the adult or the parents, but it's really maybe just the posture and approach that they take that dictates whether a young person or a high schooler is actually going to feel like it's a safe place to be vulnerable and speak up. And so if we go into friendships and dealing with loneliness, one area that I hear often from people sharing would be the idea of a lot like what Pastor Kyra was saying. A lot of you want to bring your friends to church, even for the first time, right? But you're afraid that if they don't look and sound like a mature Christian, that they may not feel welcomed. Right now, I don't think that this is the intent of the church or other generations or adults. I promise you it is not. Mm-hmm. However, if that is how you feel, if you feel unheard and you feel like your friends are not going to feel comfortable, then man, that is a concern and that is something that we have to approach and tackle. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so it's really shown me that there's a generational gap between Gen Z and other generations. One that seems pretty far, I would say, and venture to say that it's even farther than other generations. Now, what I do know is that Jesus meets all of us where we're at. Amen. Amen. So you may be listening right now and feel that you're unseen by the world. Maybe you're unseen by your friends. Maybe you're unseen by even the ones that care about you most, like your family and your parents. I want to let you know, Gen Z, that you're always seen by God. And I believe that Jesus is going to narrow this gap between generations. See, he unites us. A lot of us right now, we're very different. Everyone listening is very different. However, we're all united under the same roof because of one person, and that is Jesus, okay? And I believe that if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling like you need help communicating these needs to your parents, God has put it on our hearts as a church, as Liquid Church, to come alongside you and support you and give your parents the resources that they need to navigate this with you.
That's right. I mean, yeah, let's clap. That was a lot of wealth, a lot of wisdom in what you just shared. And I want to let you know, parents, we want to meet you two where you're at, right? We're so appreciative of you coaching us about what the kids are saying, because I know as a mom, I want to create that for my daughter. And that's what we hope to bring you in September. I want to let you know, we're actually going to be having a parent summit this Sunday, September 24th. It will be right here in our broadcast campus in Parsippany at 5:30 p.m. We're going to be inviting two guest speakers that are going to come, and they're going to tackle two topics that are very, very complex right now in Gen Z. It's mental health, and then also the topic of sexual integrity and identity. And so we want you to know you can go to our website, liquidchurch.com/parentsummit, and you can sign up today to reserve your space because spaces are limited. But that is our hope and our passion, is to help parents as Gary and the Next Gen team helps your kids. And maybe that way we can do a little bit more of bridging that generational gap that you were talking about. But final question, Gary, you are obviously very passionate about Next Gen. I love how many kids, including my own daughter, say so many nice things about you. One of the things that she has said to me is, I love that Pastor Gary makes me feel seen. And I know that that is important. So
Gabby, I owe you a $20 bill.
But can you actually tell us, what is the call to action for teenagers Absolutely. And young adults coming out of this message?
Yeah, so what I would do right now is, because we launch in October and it's a few weeks away, really a month away, I would take your phones out, go to Instagram, and I would follow us on Instagram. So if you're a high schooler, I would go to, on the right side, it's at Liquid Church HS. Type that in, follow it. Engage with us, like, comment, share. Mm-hmm. And then if you're a young adult, I would go to the porch and I would follow at the porch, New Jersey. It's spelled out New Jersey. I would follow that, engage with it. And to be honest, man, depending on where you are in your life, you could follow both of them because the content is amazing on there. I promise you, you won't regret it.
Can we thank Pastor Gary for everything that he's doing? Thank you so much. I so appreciate it. In fact, I would love to ask you if you can actually close us out in prayer today.
Absolutely, Pastor Kyra, thank you. I'm gonna ask, if this is okay, I'm gonna ask for anybody in Gen Z. So if you're in high school or if you're in your 20s or a young adult, I'm gonna actually ask you to stand up with us right now. And I'm actually gonna go a step further. I'm gonna ask that if you're a parent of a Gen Z, or if you're a teacher of a Gen Z, or maybe you're in here and you lead Gen Z in some capacity, maybe as a small group leader, or maybe here on staff or outside of the church. I'm gonna pray over you. So whether you're here in Parsippany, maybe you're watching online right now, maybe you're at one of our campuses at Mercer, Middlesex, or Somerset, I'm gonna go ahead and ask you guys to just stand up where you are across all of our locations as we pray for you. Maybe you're in the atrium. You guys can go ahead and stand up because there's no barrier to where God can reach. And so I know that this week is a lot for many of you. I know that you're going back to school either as a high schooler, maybe in college, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're a parent sending your student back to school like Pastor Kyra. Mm-hmm. Maybe there are some of you that felt God speak directly to you today in today's message, or some of you who really, you just need an encounter with Jesus. And so what we're gonna do is, as we pray over you, I'm gonna ask that our church, everybody else, if you see somebody next to you, man, just stretch your hand out towards them as we pray over them right now. Mm-hmm. Amen. God, the truth is, man, no matter how much we love and express our passion for Gen Z, you love them so much more. You've chosen them way before we have chosen them. Mm-hmm. And Father, I can't imagine what they're going through, the obstacles they're facing, Father, but the truth is that you meet everybody where they're at and you see through their heart. You see everything that they're hiding from the world that the world doesn't see. And whether it's fear of being bullied as they go back to school, maybe it's the fear of being lonely, walking through halls and knowing that though you're in front of hundreds of people, you've never felt more alone than in that moment. Or maybe it's a relational restoration. Maybe it's the connection between a Gen Zer and their parent or their teacher that you need to restore. Holy Spirit, you know exactly what that is. And I pray that you just move and embrace them in this moment so that they know that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords is standing right next to them as they go into this school year. Mm-hmm. Pour an overwhelming amount of peace over them that surpasses any anxiety that they can have, and let them know their identity as a child of the one true King. Father, I pray for a fresh anointing over our parents and our teachers as they go back into this school year. Holy Spirit, move through them, work through them and everything that they do, because they are quite literally building up the now generation, the generation that you have chosen to build the church. Father, we pray that you are glorified in our students of Liquid Church as they bring revival, not only to Liquid, to our campuses, to this state, but really to the entire United States and all of the world. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen. Amen. So thankful for Pastor Gary.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.